is with, I believe, divine direction that I want to talk to the young people. As I said, if you're young in heart, this will apply to each and every one under the sound of my voice. It was another mission trip Tabernacle of Joy was making. We were going to the island of Borneo. It is the state in East Malaysia of Sabah. It has only been three generations ago that the tribal people of Borneo, they were called the headhunters of Borneo. When I first arrived in Malaysia and Singapore 10 years ago, it seemed impossible to have revival there. But Brother Clement Charles, a home missionary from Malaysia, went to East Malaysia, and he insisted that they could have revival in that atmosphere. We were going there because they've had tremendous breakthrough. And we were getting ready to take a mission team. And God spoke and said that I should take youth on this team. We were approaching the 16th birthday of my daughter. And I said to Megan, I said, "Megs, honey, you're almost 16. It's a big deal to get your driver's license. If you want to go home to the States, we don't want to warp you and have you be different. I want you to know about these things in America. And we're going to send you to grandma's, and you grandpa will teach you to drive. You get your driver's license, and you be normal American teenager." She said, "Dad, if it's all the same to you, I'm not interested in being a normal teenager." She said, "If it's all the same to you, I'd like to go on the mission trip." And so me and my almost 16-year-old daughter made our first mission trip together. We arrived the first night, and we were having, the first night was on miracles and healing. And the place erupted in the power of God. It seemed God was in such a hurry to do His work that everybody that needed healing got their healing in the first 15 or 20 minutes. I turned to Brother Clement and I said, "Well," I said, "we could pray some people through the Holy Ghost if you want." He said, "Why not?" So he said, "Well, all of those that want the Holy Ghost, come up to the front." There was a small platform, about 50 people crowded onto that platform. I told this youth mission team, I said, "You go ahead and start praying them through the Holy Ghost. There's a couple more people that need to be prayed for healing." So I did my little thing, and I turned around. They were packed shoulder to shoulder on the platform. And so I literally put my shoulder in, and I kind of wiggled in there a little bit. And I reached, I was following in behind my daughter. She is already in the midst of it. And I just kind of, she was about four people in front of me. And I reached for a fella to put my hand on his head. And just as I did, she caught out of the corner of her eye. She looked over her shoulder. She goes, Dad, they've already got it." So I wiggled in there a little bit more. And I reached for somebody in this direction. And she looked, "Dad, they already got it." So I went this way, and I reached over there, and for the third time, she looked at me, she goes, "Dad, they've already got it." So I'm going to give it one more try, and I went in a different direction. And for the fourth time, she turned to me, and she goes, I hate to tell you, but they already got it. I had to work real hard to find somebody to pray through the Holy Ghost. So I stood there in my best fatherly posture that I could. And I called her over to where I was at after everybody finished. I called her over there with my stern father look. I said, "Young lady, come here. I need to speak to you." And she came and she stood in front of me. I said, "Megan Cherie, if you ever go on another mission trip with me, you need to understand something." I said, "If you can't leave something behind for me to pray through to the Holy Ghost," I said, "I can't bring you any more trips. You at least need to leave some crumbs behind that I can pray through. I'm supposed to be the leader of this thing." And then I smiled real big. She knew I was kidding. And I hugged her. I said, honey, your daddy is so proud of you. This is what it's all about. This is what life is all about. And God flashed me back to a year earlier when I stood in Brother Terry Black's church. And for the first time in many years, a good portion of my mom's family, my sisters, my cousins, and a group of aunts were there. And we were standing there praying out the altar in Brother Black's church. And the Holy Ghost came down. And God began to speak to me. And He said, Steve Willoughby, upon these young people. God said, you lay your hand upon your nieces and upon your nephews. God said, I'm getting ready to do a work among these young people. I have called a Joshua generation. I have called a group of young people that are going to turn this world right side up. God so impressed me with that. I am here to tell you, young people, that there is a generation here that is here now that is unlike, I believe, any other generation. These men are not going to stop you. When God starts using you and accelerating your ministry and taking you to a dimension where some of us have never even been, we're not going to stop you. We're not going to tug your coattail and say, sit down, cool off, back down, back off. No, 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 no. You are those on whom the ends of the world have come. You are the ones that God has released in this hour. Here's what God spoke to me at Brother Black's. Genesis 8:22. And while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. I don't know what season you are in. Life, here's what I know. There's cold and there's heat. There's summer and there's winter. There's day and there's night. I don't know what season you're in. Maybe you're in a season of loneliness. Maybe you're in a season of confusion. Maybe you're in a season of doubt and fear. Maybe you're in the highest pinnacle of your spiritual life. I don't know what your season is, but it has not come to stay. It has come to pass. And God says, He sealed it in that service. If there was any doubt in your mind, God sealed it in that service. This is a new season. God said there's always going to be the cycle of reproduction. There's always the cycle. There's always summer, winter, fall, spring. It goes in a cycle. But here's what the Holy Ghost says. God is accelerating the seasons. It was said, and I preached it, I taught it. Brother Tenney said, it takes 10 years to make a saint. But if you'll excuse me, I don't think that is no longer true. We had Methodist young people that got the Holy Ghost a year ago, July. And this July, at our CEJ, Come Encounter Jesus, those young people had, through acceleration, God says, I personally don't believe we have another 50 years. God says, I don't have time for you to go through a 30-year process. If you desire it, if you want it, God says, I'll give it to you now. And God says, I believe those young people, we put them on what we call our connectors team. That means that when people got the Holy Ghost this year, they were the disciples. They were the ones that followed up and bringing them into discipleship. In the church, 1 year. You know what I believe happened? I believe there's spiritual genetics. I believe in those Methodist young people. There were latent holiness genetics. The Methodist church used to be a holiness church. And when they got into apostolic revival, God activated some latent spiritual genetics. Those young people haven't had any problem with standards. They haven't had any problem with holiness. Those young people have come to God, and in 1 year, they have astounded me. So whatever season you're in, here's what I know. God's got a new season for you. He's ready to take you to another dimension. But before you can go to the next level, you've got to thank God for the season you're in. If you can't thank God, I had so many complexes when I was a teenager. I had so many hang-ups, and I didn't realize how angry I was at God. I did. If you'd asked me if I was angry at God, I'd have said no. But now I realize I was blaming God because I didn't look like this. I couldn't play sports like this. I couldn't do like this or do like that. But all of the things that I thought was a disadvantage have become my advantage. But you first got to thank God for the season that you're in. So I'm asking you, if you're ready to go to another level, will you sincerely, from the bottom of your heart, in everything, give thanks? In everything, would you raise your hands to heaven right now? Would you right now say, God, I'm satisfied with what you've been doing in my life. Jesus, I am happy the path that you've been leading me on. I don't always understand it. I don't always know where you want me to go, how I'm supposed to feel, what I'm supposed to do. But God, I'm thanking you for the season I'm in. I know, God, sometimes the winter doesn't seem much fun. It's cold. It's dark. Come on, church. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it. If you'll praise God for where you're at, He'll say, I've got a new place. I've got a new season. God's wanting to graduate you. He's wanting to graduate you. He's wanting to graduate you into a new season. Now I want you to seal that. I want you to seal that with genuine prayer. Let me tell you something. The key emotion of worship is love. The key attitude of worship is surrender. The key action of worship is obedience. If you intend, Brother Spears already done it, but we can just seal it another time. If you intend to live by the commitment that you made to God last night, if you intend, if God did for you what He did for me, He gave me a list of ripping and tearing that has to of necessity be done in my life to go to the next season. But if you are determined that you're not going to get home and lose your zeal and your passion, and when you're away from the Holy Ghost, chill, forget what you told God you would do, would you right now, would you say, God, I want to seal this. I'm going to worship you in love. I love your ways. I love your precepts. I love your principles. I love your truth. I love our heritage. I love this doctrine. I love your word. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it, young people. That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. 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 God, I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to walk in this. Hallelujah. God, I'm going to walk in this.
Ecclesiastes 3:1. This is a scripture I felt like God just told me to read to you. To everything, there is a season. But that's not where it stops. Not only is there a season, but the scripture says a time for every purpose. Now, we know from what is happening in our world around us that God is changing our seasons. I believe what we see in the natural is what he's trying to tell us is happening in the spiritual. He has turned our whole world upside down. In other words, what used to be is no more. It used to be that we didn't have storms. Well, they're there now. It used to be it was hot and now it's cold, or it's cold and now it's hot. In other words, young people, what used to be is no more. He's turning everything around. He's letting us know what used to be normal isn't going to be normal anymore, and what used to take place isn't going to take place anymore. For everything in God's purpose, there's a different season than what we think is going to happen. But not only is there a season, for every season, he has a divine purpose. I can't tell you what that purpose is in your life. But oh, I know the one this morning that wants to tell you. Not only is he going to change your season, from this day forward, what you were, you will not be anymore. You will not be timid if you were timid. The seasons change. I speak to you in the Holy Ghost. If you were shy and you were afraid, fear be gone in the name of Jesus. I set you free from that spirit of intimidation. Be set free in the name of Jesus. And devil, who he has set free is free indeed. Who he has set free is free indeed. Grab it to your heart. Say, that's for me. That's for me. I want the young people, if you will, is this all right? I want the young people to come quickly. I want you to just step out somewhere real close where you're at. There's two things that I'm going to pray specifically for you. Now I'm going to give it back to you, Steve. When I was your age, there were things I did to keep myself in a position of service. When I was your age, I remember specifically coming to conferences and desiring to do something for God. In my heart, I dreamed of being a missionary. I dreamed that God would actually allow me to do something. I had no idea how that could ever take place. You see, I wasn't from a background that of anybody who is related to anybody. I had no credentials. I had no abilities. I had no talents. I was afraid, and I had nobody to tell me in my family or to push me up and say, go on, whatever. My family was pretty much, you just do your own thing. If you want to go to church, Barb, go. You don't want to go to church, don't go. But I had a desire in my heart. The Bible says that man looks on the outward. You hear me, young people? Man, that's flesh. But God looks at your heart. And I'm telling you, we serve a faithful God who is not looking at who you are, who you're related to, what abilities you have, what education. And I believe in education. I'm making my kids all get their bachelor's. I tell them that's the minimum. I'll push them to their master's. Why? So they can work secularly? No, because they're going to get those degrees and they're going to open up nations. That's why they're getting their degrees. They know why I told them they have to do it. And they're in agreement with it. I'm telling you to let you know that God in this last day is going to use you. Tell the people next to you, he's going to use you. Tell someone else, he's going to use you. I hope you believe what I am telling you. I never thought I'd be standing here. But let me tell you, he looks on the heart. Don't worry about things around you and what you look like and who's there and what people think. You got to get out of that. You got to get into a new season, young people. You're the Joshua generation. We're passing it on to you. You've got to get out there and you've got to press toward the mark of the high calling. One of the main things I did to let God keep me in a position of service was to keep my life pure. I'm extremely concerned that we have a generation that may bow under the pressure of this world and submit to the spirit of lust. Young men, you stay away from those girls. You hear me? If they don't love God, if they're not down here worshiping and serving Him, don't look at them. I don't care how cute they are. I don't care how nice they're shaped. I don't care what they got on. I don't care if they're in the style of the USA. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. You're going to be ministers of the gospel. He's calling those who have separated themselves. He's calling for a group of pure, pure, broken, contrite hearts. Young ladies, stop flirting. Don't let that spirit of flirtation and lust grab you. Separate yourself for a higher calling. Separate yourself for the anointing of the Holy God that can set you to change a world around. Would you throw your hands up right now? I'm going to pray that you will not bow to that fleshly, lustful spirit, those hormones that are in your bodies, that you will get them under subjection of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will separate themselves from youthful lust. That they will not be led by the physical, but they will be led by the spiritual. May they seek you. May they control their desires. Change their season of fleshly desires. Open the season of spiritual desires. Flood them with a hunger and a thirst for more of you. May we be known as a friend of God. May we seek your friendship and not the friendship of the flesh. We bow before your burden. We accept your separation. We accept a life of consecration and purity. I will not settle for second best. I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. There's nothing greater than a life of service. There's nothing greater than dedicating yourself to the King.
Hallelujah! 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 You receive it, young people. Take it to your bosom. Hallelujah! This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah! Upon your young men, upon your daughters, your handmaidens. God says you are the chosen generation. Hear me for just a moment. I was telling you about my daughter. You say, well, I guess y'all just live a fairy tale life. No. The year before the story that I told you, if I would not have known better, I would have thought that my daughter was demon possessed. I asked her permission. She called me this morning. I was praying. I said, God, if I can tell this story, then I've got to talk to Megan. The phone rang, And she said, Daddy, we haven't talked to her in 2 days. Said, Daddy, I just felt like I needed to talk to you. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe. It wasn't easy. There was moments. You see, you're not born with passion for a certain thing. You choose your passion. You choose to be passionate about the purpose that God has put on your life. You choose to be, I am going to follow after Him until I am certain of my purpose. This world cannot give me purpose. This world cannot give me satisfaction and my passion. I'm telling you, I never had heroes. Sports figures were never my heroes. Politicians or movie stars or whatever you want to say. From the time I was a boy, preachers have always been my heroes. I chose my passion from my youth. And my daughter was struggling with peer pressure. She was struggling with what the other kids did and what they thought. But it was in one prayer meeting. Do not underestimate the power of one prayer. Do not underestimate the morning, one morning of commitment. What changed? It was a prayer meeting. It was a laying on of hands. And I'm asking Brother Tony Bailey to come right now. Brother Bailey has touched my life in such a significant way. Young people, you cannot do this if you do not develop a prayer life. It is not something that you can just talk about. It's something that has to be done. You need to become sons and daughters of the morning. You need to learn to rise from your place and be at the dawning of every day, be in there saying, God, let my people go. That's what Moses did before Pharaoh. It's time for you and I, this generation, to look the devil in the eye and say, we are the Joshua generation. We are the ones that are going to lead this world into revival. I'm asking you to choose your passion this morning. If you're willing to choose prayer as your passion, then prayer will lead you into your purpose. It'll lead you everywhere that you need to go. You'll get everything you need if you will establish prayer. Brother Bailey, would you come here? Brother Bailey has the ability by the Holy Ghost not just to talk about prayer, but there can be an impartation. There will be an impartation of prayer upon you. The gift of faith is here right now. And your desire, you're saying, is it for me? It is absolutely. That's why you got out of bed. That's why you're here. Because the Holy Ghost brought you for this moment. For this right here, right now.
Hallelujah. For 3.5 years, Jesus ministered to His disciples. Then He was crucified and resurrected. After that, for 40 more days, He rehashed the things that He had taught them concerning the kingdom of God. And then, just before He was taken up, He had 2 minutes left. And He went back and He grabbed the highlight of all that He had taught for 3.5 years, and then for 40 days, and He put it into one sentence. And He said this to them. He said, do not depart from the city of Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. We have got to learn to wait in the presence of God so that we can be endued with power. So that when we walk out of the prayer meeting, we're not walking out by ourselves. We're not walking out in our own ability. We're not walking out in our own strength. We're walking out in the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how they affected their world. That's how they changed their cities. That's how their lives were transformed. That's how the shadow of Peter passing over them would heal them. That's how the angelic host
would follow them and confirm their word. That's how the power of God would show up. Because these men and women understood the process of waiting for the power of God in their life. God wants to release upon you today in this auditorium right now an anointing, a spirit of prayer that will enable you to wait upon Him, that will encourage you to wait upon His presence. If you're hungry for it, if you desire that, I want you to lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I release your spirit of prayer that is in this place today to impart itself now, to go and attach itself and enable these, God, that are hungry. Father, I release that anointing of prayer upon these young people, upon every minister in this place, upon every preacher's wife, upon every future missionary, upon every future evangelist, upon every future pastor. I release the anointing of God in this house today, not just on this floor, but throughout this auditorium. God, I command right now that every spirit that would hinder the flow and operation of your power would be diminished, would be brought to naught, that today you would begin your work. And give yourself to this anointing of prayer. Give yourself to this spirit of prayer, allowing God to work through you, allowing God to minister in you. This is that power. This is the anointing. This is the anointing that God wants you to walk in every day. This is the anointing that God wants you to live in. This is the anointing that God wants to flow through your life as you walk out into your schedule, into your day, into the workplace, into the schoolroom. The anointing of God will go with you, confirming His word. Signs will follow when you walk in the power of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus, let Jesus interrupt your life. Let Jesus interrupt your life with His power. Let Jesus interrupt your life with His spirit. Let Jesus interrupt your life with His anointing.